This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News with me, Anvita Bansal. Today is February 28, 2020, and I'll be bringing you all the latest updates from India and around the world. But before that, a small note on our Money Control app. You can get easier access to key tools on the Money Control app. In case you do not have it, please download the app now. And now moving on to our top stories for the day. The death toll has risen to 42 in Delhi communal violence. Reports also suggest 29 Turkish soldiers have been killed in an airstrike in Syria. We'll be also giving you global updates on coronavirus epidemic. And lastly, we'll talk about how EPFO is likely to cut PF rates to 8.5% from 8.6%. Well, on another upsetting story, 42 people have died in Delhi communal violence. To give us more details on this, I have with me my colleague Atharva Pandit. Hi Atharva, thank you for joining in.
Hello Anvita. So like we discussed yesterday, the toll has been continuously rising every day. Yesterday it was in the 30s and now it's 42. And like I said, with the amount of people who are injured, there are more than 300 people who have been injured in the communal violence.
Right.
A lot of them who are also seriously injured. So the death toll is increasing, and so is the criticism against, you know, the Delhi police for their inaction, for their alleged inaction during the violence. But what has happened since yesterday and today is that the Delhi police has registered an FIR against Tahir Hussain, who's the Aam Aadmi Party corporator, who was accused by intelligence bureau staffer Ankit Sharma's parents of kidnapping and murdering Ankit. An FIR has been lodged against him, and the Aam Aadmi Party has also suspended him from primary membership of the party. However, Hussain, who was all this while defending himself and has said that he is being framed, he has now, you know, disappeared, and his phone has been switched off since yesterday night, according to reports. And the police are unable to trace him. So that is one development, major development. And the second major development is that one of the shooters on the initial days of rioting, when one of the shooters identified as Shah Rukh Khan, he was said to have been detained by the police, but Delhi police clarified yesterday that he has not yet been detained, and the police is also searching for him. And this is despite, I mean, the critics have said that this comes despite the fact that he was seen, there is a video, there are pictures that have gone, images that have gone viral in which we can see him point a gun at one of the police officers, one of the police constables on the street. We can actually see him point his gun, and there are images and there are videos of him all over, and yet he has managed to escape. So the police are of course looking out for him, but according to an Indian Express report, the local police officers had identified Shah Rukh Khan as the person who was wielding the gun, who was the gun-toting person, because initially when these images came forth, there was no identification, there was no clarity on who this person is. The local police officers had identified him, and they had notified the senior police officers in the northeast region who were responsible for this region. But they were reportedly very busy, too busy, because they were busy with the rioting that was taking place all around northeast Delhi. So that was one sort of flaw that we can say. There was a communication gap, and they couldn't find the time to actually go and arrest Shah Rukh Khan, because the area itself, the northeast Delhi region itself, was in throes of rioting, communal rioting. So today, again, the LG of Delhi, Anil Baljai, he has paid a visit to the affected areas. He is going around, and he has said that the situation is normal now, more or less normal. limping back to normality. So okay. That is what the police has also been saying for the past 2 days, that the situation remains sort of tense, but it's calm. There are no incidents of, more importantly, there are no incidents of fresh violence which have been reported.
Well, we really hope that the situation is under control. Thank you so much, Atharva, for all those insights.
Thank you.
Well, further giving us more updates on coronavirus, I have my colleague Shraddha Sharma, who will tell us why WHO has not declared coronavirus a pandemic yet. Hi, Shraddha. Thank you for joining in.
Hi, Anvita. Thank you for having me. So, Anvita, as you said, first let me give you the global update on coronavirus. As of yesterday, we had around 3,400 confirmed cases of coronavirus from 49 countries.
All right.
And in the past week, we heard 20 countries confirm their first coronavirus case. Europe has the most number of countries now that has reported at least one case of coronavirus. And in terms of number of cases, we knew that South Korea was putting out a lot of cases. So South Korea has the most number of confirmed infections that has reached, almost reaching 2,000, and they have reported 13 deaths, and that is outside mainland China. And if we talk about why WHO is not declaring COVID-19 a pandemic, at this moment is we had to take it from a press briefing that WHO conducted on February 26th, where the WHO Director General has said that WHO is not considering the spread to be less serious, but in terms of risk of, you know, amplifying unnecessary and unjustified fear and stigma around the virus, because they still are, you know, understanding the virus and finding out, working on the vaccine and finding out the drugs that can be used for the coronavirus. So that's why they have not declared it a pandemic yet, but it is a serious outbreak. It has crossed, it has reached most of the countries in the world. And the last pandemic that was reported was in 2009, when H1N1 flu was declared a pandemic, which killed hundreds of thousands of people globally.
Right. So Shraddha, how are countries fighting against this epidemic?
So the priority of the countries are basically to detect these cases early and isolate the people who have been tested positive for the virus. Most of the countries have laid down instructions to avoid any non-essential travels, to any of the impacted countries, or in general also because of the fear. And U.S. intelligence agencies, as reports are suggesting, are monitoring the global spread of coronavirus and how the different governments are responding to the spread. But there are concerns, and the reports are suggesting that while there are only few known cases in India, the country's available countermeasures and the potential for the virus, to affect the densely populated country is, a focus, and it is a cause of serious concern for around the world, because we know we are densely populated, and in case the, coronavirus case is not, found early on and the person is not isolated, it might spread very quickly. So that is a concern. Another source said that U.S. agencies were also concerned about, most of the weak ability of various governments in the developing countries to respond to the outbreak. Like we were discussing Iran yesterday, and right. Now the deputy health minister was also, one of the people who were tested positive for coronavirus. And number of deaths outside China that have been reported in Iran is actually rising. So that is a concern. BBC has also recently reported that 14% of the recovered patients that were tested positive for coronavirus in China have again tested positive for coronavirus. So,
what does that mean? Again tested? As
in they were tested positive, they were hospitalized, then they recovered and they were discharged from the hospital.
Okay.
So 14% of them have been tested positive again. And
there is a relapse. That means there are chances, there are cases of a relapse-like situation.
Is what the, you know, healthcare health workers are informing. And there's one more case in Japan where a woman in her 40s has been tested. She was discharged in like early February and has been tested again positive for coronavirus. So they are still understanding the virus. Saudi, meanwhile, has banned all pilgrims from entering the country. And Japan, the schools will also remain closed. Italy also, most of the places are in a lockdown. So that's how the countries are trying to fight the epidemic.
Also, Shraddha, reports suggest that 29 Turkish soldiers have been killed by airstrike in Syria.
Right, that's right, Anvita. But now the updated number is 33. So 33 Turkish soldiers have been killed by airstrike in northwestern.
This is as we speak at 5:30.
Right. So it was the latest update from the international reports and in northwestern Syria. And this is the highest number of Turkish soldiers killed in one day since the conflict escalated in 2016. So if you are talking about escalation in the, it might turn into a direct conflict between Turkey and Russia-backed Syrian forces. So here, if we have to talk about today's airstrike, there were four things we need to talk about. The Turkish forces, the Syrian rebels, the government troops, and the Russian warplanes. So Russia, that is Syria's key military ally, says that the Turkish troops were attacked in Idlib. It's the province in Syria by the Syrian forces while operating alongside jihadist fighters.
Okay.
So this is what is the latest update on the conflict.
All right. Let's see where all this leads to. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for giving us all those insights.
Thank you, Anvita, for having me.
Well, moving on to our last story, EPFO is likely to cut PF rates to 8.5% from 8.6%. To give us more insights on this, I have with me my colleague Jerome Anthony, who is moving on to a new project. Hi, Jerome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anvita.
Jerome, hope we are not speaking for the last time on this, on In The News.
I hope to, Anvita. I mean, this has been my baby. I hope, you know, you guys continue to grow. And yeah, sure, do call me sometime. I would like to give my two cents on the show.
Definitely, definitely. One more question, one personal question, Jerome. Who will be filling in for me when I'm not there? Since you've hosted the show, you've also, apart from being as a guest, you've also hosted the show.
Right. Yeah, so we will have somebody. Yeah. It's always good to be filling in for you. But I hope that, yeah, you identify some people to, you know, fill in your shoes, which I keep doing.
We might have someone, but we won't get another Jerome for sure.
Wow, thanks, Anvita. It's really touched me. So, Anvita, salaried employees, you know, will face a little bit of issues here, or rather some disappointing news, because now that these are reports, it's not confirmed, but the Employees Provident Fund organization is looking at cutting interest rates on Provident Fund deposits. Now, I'll tell you the quantum of the consideration. It's around 15 basis points. So it was 8.65% interest that was being doled out to employees. Now they're looking to reduce it to 8.5%.
Right.
So the reason behind this is that earnings from long-term fixed deposits, bonds basically, and government securities that the EPFO has been investing in has fallen by 50 to 80 basis points over the past year. And the retirement fund body, like I just mentioned, finds it difficult to keep rates unchanged for this year.
Right, Jerome. What is the possible reason for this?
Again, I'll have to give you some background here now. The EPFO has, you know, exposure of 4,500 crores of investments in the troubled NBFCs, One of them is Dewan Housing Finance Limited, and the other one is ILNFS.
Hmm.
So the money that has been invested there, it's quite unlikely that both these NBFCs would be able to, or rather the EPFO office will be able to recover this amount anytime soon.
Hmm.
So, and above this, the EPFO has invested around 18 lakh crore, out of which 85% is in the debt market and 15% is in the equities market through exchange-traded funds.
Right.
Until March 2019, its investments in equities stood at 74,324 crores. So, these amounts are huge. Now, what if the EPFO is not earning?
Hmm.
If its income is reduced, then it'll also, you know, dole out less money to individuals who have been investing there.
Right. With all this news, not such a great day for any one of us today, but we really hope for a better tomorrow. Thank you so much, Jerome, for joining in.
Thanks, Anvita.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In the News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, this is your host Anvita signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.